Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. Hope you're having a great day. It is Friday, which should make your day great, I hope. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. We're going to need to take a break from the raw politics of the day to focus on the absurd. Let's talk about bubbles for just a minute. All of us can get in bubbles. In our bubbles, the world is as we think the world is, and the things that might give pause to our bubble, might give cause to burst our bubble, that they never penetrate. So we think the world operates in ways the world does not operate. And in so doing, we encounter a world that is not as it is, and we make assumptions about the world based on the way the world does not work, and yet we think it works that way. Democrats are in a bubble in Washington, D.C. Democrats are in a bubble. A media bubble in large part because they live in urban enclaves with the same reporters who cover them, who tend to lean left, who tell them everything they believe is so, and so much of it is not. So they govern and guide themselves based on decisions from an urban elite who have less and less in common with the rest of the country, and it gets them into trouble. Republicans certainly can get in a bubble sometimes when they surround themselves. And in D.C., there's an entire social welfare network in Washington, D.C. for alienated conservatives who do not get along with, are not part of, and will never get an access to the cool kids table in Washington. And they hang out with themselves and they operate in ways that reaffirm their core beliefs, and they themselves never have to experience otherwise. It can be very, very dangerous. The Republican establishment in particular falls into these bubbles. The conservative outsiders tend to be on the outside of everyone, and they spend a lot of their time in their home districts, and they tend to be in less of a bubble than a lot of people, although they too can get in a bubble. Bubbles are bad and dangerous because it does not allow you to course correct when you grow out of touch with everyone else. It can be a real problem. Academia is in a bubble as well. In the academy, tenured professors and wannabe tenured professors have been overtaken by Boko Haram. They want to cancel those who disagree with them, destroy the lives of anyone who dissents from their intersectional fads. They create rules on a changing daily basis that are designed not to improve the conditions of others, but to entrap and ensnare those who are not true believers of their cult. They think that everyone agrees with them. They use words like Latinx that no one in the Latino community uses. They believe intersectional nonsense of oppression and oppressed. And they go to academic publications and they stake out positions that any normal person would realize are really absurd. Which leads me to Scientific American. Scientific American. Ask yourself what wokeism has to do with Scientific America. What does wokeism have to do with science? Science is supposed to be objective. The wokes say there's no such thing as objectivity. The wokes believe that men can become women. Well, Scientific America has run an editorial, an op-ed. It's not an editorial. It's an opinion piece. And I want to read you that. You may need to sit down for this one. Y'all actually may need to sit down for this one. And it's taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people to write this piece. Let me, before I read you the piece, let me read you the bios of the people who wrote it so you get a sense. J.W. Hammond is a postdoctoral researcher in the School of Education at the University of Michigan, where he researches and teaches about rhetoric, writing, and racial justice. Sarah Brownell is a discipline-based education researcher and professor in the School of Life Sciences at Arizona State University, who studies how we can create more inclusive undergraduate biology learning environments, particularly for women, religious students, community college transfer students, and the LGBTQ plus students. Now, interesting, how does she create a better environment, more inclusive environment for religious students when a lot of religions, mainstream religions, aren't as accommodating to the LGBTQ plus ideology she is? Makes you wonder. Nita Kitharneth earned her MA in Educational Leadership and Policy from the University of Michigan. She's a project manager for the Sloan Equity and Inclusion in STEM introductory courses. Susan Ching is a forest ecologist and instructional consultant specialized in data analytics, assessment, and instruction of undergraduate courses. She earned her PhD from the University of Michigan and leads research projects in 2 intertwined strands of scholarship, understanding how ecology shapes Earth's climate and how classroom climate shapes student learning. Okay. So we have one actually seriously credible person here. And then W. Carson Bird is a sociologist focused on the intersections of race and racism, higher education, and scientific and knowledge production. He's a senior fellow in residence at the National Center for Institutional Diversity at the University of Michigan. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4 University of Michigan people, 1 Arizona State University person. I wonder if she's got ties to the University of Michigan as well. The moral of the story that you're about to hear is probably don't go to the University of Michigan. So I've set this up for you. We got 4 or 5 people. Only one of them has a real pedigree in a science, that is ecology. You got a sociologist. You got a educational leadership policy person. You've got a education researcher in a school of life science, and then you've got a postdoctoral researcher in a school of education. Not exactly heavyweight scientific achievement to get into Scientific American to write a story. Now comes the punchline, the story, the title, the topic. Everything you need to know why there's so much distrust of science in this country comes down to this. I'm not making this up. This is the actual title. Why the term Jedi is problematic for describing programs that promote justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Subtitle: they're meant to be heroes within the Star Wars universe, but the Jedi are inappropriate symbols for justice work. I kid you not, this is an actual piece in Scientific America. How do I even read this? In the passive-aggressive progressive voice? The acronym JEDI has become a popular term for branding academic committees and labeling STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and medicine initiatives focused on social justice issues. Used in this context, JEDI stands for justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Like recent years, like this acronym has been employed by a growing number of like prominent institutions and organizations, including the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine. I'm sorry, I gotta have this straight because this hurts my brain enough. At first glance, JEDI may simply appear to be an elegant way to explicitly build justice into the most common formula of DEI, an abbreviation for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Productively shifting our ethical focus in the process, JEDI has these important affordances, but also inherits another notable set of meanings. It shares a name with the superheroic protagonists of the science fiction Star Wars franchise, the Jedi. Within the narrative world of Star Wars, to be members of the Jedi is seemingly to be a paragon of goodness, a principled guardian of order, and protector of the innocent. This set of pop cultural associations is one that some Jedi initiatives and advocates explicitly allude to. Again, Jedi standing for justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Whether intentional or not, the labels we choose for our justice-oriented initiatives open them up to a broader universe of associations, branding with them meaning, and in the case of Jedi, binding them to consumer brands. Though its connections to Star Wars, the name Jedi can inadvertently associate our justice work with stories and stereotypes that are a galaxy far, far away from the values of justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. The question we must ask is whether the conversations started by these connections are the ones we want to have. As we will argue, our justice-oriented projects should approach connections to the Jedi and Star Wars with great caution and perhaps even avoid the acronym entirely. Below, we outline five reasons why. Now, I'm not going to read you this whole thing because you will be brain damaged if I do. These people are clearly brain damaged. But I do want to begin with part of this. The Jedi are inappropriate mascots for social justice. Although they're ostensibly heroes within the Star Wars universe, the Jedi are inappropriate symbols for justice work. They are a religious order of intergalactic police monks prone to white saviorism and toxically masculine approaches to conflict resolution. Violent duels with phallic lightsabers, gaslighting by means of Jedi mind tricks, etc. The Jedi are also an exclusionary cult, membership to which is partly predicated on the possession of heightened psychic and physic abilities, like force sensitivity. Strikingly, force-wielding talent are narratively explained in Star Wars, not merely in spiritual terms, but also in ableist and eugenic ones. These supernatural powers are naturalized as biological hereditary attributes. So it is that force potential is framed as a dynastic property of noble bloodlines, and force disparities are rendered innate physical properties measurable via midichlorian counts and augmentable via humanoid engineering. The heroic Jedi are thus emblems for a host of dangerously reactionary values and assumptions, sending the message that justice work is akin to cosplay is bad enough. Dressing up our initiatives in the symbolic garb of the Jedi is even worse. Well, at least they take the stupidity of the first three movies and they get something out of it. The stupid midichlorian storyline is nuts. Nonetheless, they go on that Star Wars has a problematic cultural legacy. Think, for example, of the so-called slave Leia costume. I gotta tell you, I like to think of the slave Leia costume. I was a teenage boy when that came out. I wasn't even a teenager. I think I was in fourth grade. Kind of liked the slave Leia costume. Come on, admit it. You did too if you were a guy. When we consider the relationship of Jedi to Star Wars and its fraught cultural legacy, a more general caution comes into view. When we label our initiatives, we must be careful about the universe of narratives and symbols within which we situate our work and the cultural associations and meanings that our project may take on as a result. I'm trying not to drop that. No F-bombs here. Jedi connects justice initiatives to corporate capital. Jedi is more than just a name. It's a product. Circulating the product's name can promote and benefit the corporation that owns it, Disney. Disney has a long and troubling history of circulating racist, sexist, heterosexist, and orientalist narratives and imagery, which the corporation and its subsidiaries like Pixar are publicly reckoning with. Furthermore, Disney's overtly political, bad labor practices, aligning justice work with Star Wars was threatening inclusion and a sense of belonging. The abbreviation Jedi can distract from justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Oh my gosh, y'all, we have reached peak stupidity when it comes to the intersectionalists out there, have we not? They don't want, so you want to draw attention to justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. You want to make it popular. Why don't you tie it to Star Wars? And the kids these days, they love it. And they'll want to be a Jedi, so they'll commit themselves to justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. They can rebrand the Jedi. You know, Disney would help them with this crap. And instead, we don't want to tie it to Disney because Disney's a heterosexist, capitalistic organization, and it would be bad for the cause. This is why you can't take any of these people seriously. I have never yet been led astray by a very simple rule. Never take seriously people who put their pronouns in their email signature lines and their Twitter bios. And these people are pretty much doing that with this nonsense. You should not take them seriously. And the fact that Scientific American, a magazine that focuses on science, is putting this in, shows you everything, tells you everything you need to know about why so many people are skeptical of science these days. Science is no longer science. It's a progressive left-wing cause that distorts truth in favor of fan fiction for progressive causes. And it breeds doubt and causes skepticism, and it gets us to where we are with even fighting this virus when so many people are fixated on the political agendas of the people who have come forth as the experts, and the experts, they're all running a scam. And nobody seems to be figuring it out. Americans continue to navigate through multiple crises this year. We the People, a Bradley speaker series, offers insights and ideas on the current challenges we face from some of the remarkable organizations the Bradley Foundation supports. Visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty to watch their most recent episode, which features Stephen Sokup, author of The Dictatorship of Woke Capital, How Political Correctness Captured Big Business, an Encounter Books publication. In this episode, Sokup discusses the left's gradual takeover of corporate America and why the free market hasn't been able to prevent it, the dangerous impact of shareholder activism, and efforts to push back on it. That's Bradley with an L-E-Y at the end, fdn.org/liberty to watch the video. New episodes debut weekly, so go back often, subscribe to their YouTube channel. Be notified when new ones are posted. That's bradleyfdn.org/liberty. You know, there's a side angle on all of this intersectional nonsense beyond the Jedi thing. The ACLU ran a quote on the anniversary of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death. And the quote they chose to run was this: "The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a person's life, to their well-being and dignity. When the government controls the decision for people, they are being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for their own choices." But that's not actually what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said. What Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually said was this: the decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a woman's life, to her well-being and dignity. It is a decision she must make for herself. When the government controls that decision for her, she is being treated as less than a full adult human responsible for her own choices. They altered Ruth Bader Ginsburg's quote to remove references to women. Is it not ironic that apparently the height of feminism these days is to erase women from history? Because you can pick and choose whatever you want to be now. And explicit quotes from people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg that are about women are changed, except when it comes time to actually argue over abortion, they tell us that men don't have a say, only women have a say. Because, you know, it's like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when I was on CNN a couple of weeks ago with Anderson Cooper. She came on before me, and she was talking about women, people, and their, her baby, their, and she stumbled all over the words. Or like the idiot Prime Minister of Canada. Have you heard him tripping over all of the additional letters that you got to have now for the alphabet gang?
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights.
LGBTQIABCDEFGHIJKLMNOP. You know, the whole thing here, this is actually an ideology designed to ensnare and entrap people. and they turn it on themselves and they update it constantly. You can never be a true believer enough. It is Maoism. I mean, that's the closest approximation to this is Maoism, where the person who takes a stand today is tomorrow the heretic and must be killed or destroyed in some way. Their lives must be ruined. And now you can't even say woman anymore. You women are being written out of history by the feminists who claimed to defend you and the men who claim to support you, because now they claim that men can be women. And when the men become women, the men keep beating the women and all the things the women are supposed to be able to do. Turns out there's nothing a woman can't do that a man can't do better if he says he's a woman. If you've been behind the wheel of a high-performance sports car, you realize how much better a car can be. You never want to settle for a regular car again. I feel that way with my X-Chair. From the moment I first sat down in it, and I understood how many consider X-Chair to be the finest office chair in the world. Can your current office chair give you a massage while you're working? My X-Chair can. And as a guy in radio who sits in this chair for 3 hours a day, plus an additional 3 hours doing show prep, I can tell you it's worth it. It can also heat up. It can cool down. That's what my X-Chair can do. I bet yours can't. It's all the Elevax massage and temperature regulation, exclusively designed and made for X-Chair. Once you feel it, once you realize the difference, you're not going to go back. You're going to want one of these. Try X-Chair yourself, risk-free for 30 days. Once you realize how much better your chair can be, you're never going to go back. I promise, I didn't, and I had a really fancy chair, and then I got my X-Chair. There's no going back. Go to xchaireric.com now with the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com, for $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. It's xchaireric.com. A little bit of housekeeping. It is Eric Erickson. Welcome. I have sent out a recipe for all of you. My buddy Joe recommended this particular recipe. It's been a while since I sent this one out. Gumbo. You know, everybody from Louisiana has a gumbo recipe, myself included, over time. And when the weather gets cool, oh, it's time for gumbo. And it is time for gumbo. And sadly, my family doesn't eat it, so I hardly ever make it anymore. I love it. I mean, I'll eat it, but I don't have anybody around here I can eat it with. I need to go up to my wife's family where they will all eat my gumbo, because my wife and kids don't. And you can make it. So the one I send out typically, because some people really don't like seafood, is sausage and gumbo or sausage and chicken gumbo, but you can add seafood. And I put in a little note for how you should replace the, and gumbo is complicated, but you got seafood gumbo, you got chicken and sausage gumbo, you got gumbo melange, which is chicken, sausage, seafood. It's everything combined. Normally you put in like the non-seafood or the seafood. You don't combine them. You can if you want. I have, but I tend to like one or the other. It's a preference. But I did a while back, I actually sat down and I recorded in real time a video making the roux. I probably need to update it at some point, but it was actually, I did it in real time. All the 30 minutes that it takes to stir the roux is only intimidating if you allow it to intimidate you. Now, if you want the recipe, if you text the word recipe to the phone number, 33777, I will send you back a link. And when you get that link back, if you click it, you can see the gumbo recipe, but you can also, there's a form where you can put in your email address and you can subscribe to get them by email when I send them out. But I put them up on the Eric Erickson Show website. And so this link goes to the Eric Erickson Show website. But the gumbo recipe, it's not hard. And this time of year, it's actually great. The weather's cool, even in the South. It's the perfect. You add as much cayenne as you want, spice it up, but text the word recipe to 33777, you'll get back the link, and you can go get that recipe if you want. It's a great, great recipe to make for the weekend. And I will tell you, it's better the day after. So you make it like on a Friday night, and it's great for your family on Saturday. I mean, you can eat it the same day. We always did growing up, but it's always better the next day. The flavors meld together, and it's impressive. So text recipe to 33777. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. AOC started crying on the floor of the House of Representatives yesterday after a vote. It was a vote to restore funding to the Iron Dome program in Israel. Now, you do need to know, if we're truthful and honest and we're sincere with the facts, the fact honestly is that Israel has not accepted our funding for the Iron Dome. It's been left in an account. And at some point, perhaps they will embrace our funding. But at the moment, they not only have not embraced our funding, they don't seem to want it. So there was a question as to whether or not we were going to keep giving them the money if they don't want the money, but there was a decision to give them the money. And progressives had said no way, that they did not want to give the money. They were opposed to giving the money. They blocked it in the continuing resolution. And so on a bipartisan basis, on a separate piece of legislation, the Republicans and Democrats restored the funding. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had been one of the most vocal Democrats against restoring the funding. So when the vote came to the floor yesterday, you would have expected her to vote no, along with Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and the like. Instead, she voted present and then burst into tears. My buddy Brian Kilmeade on Fox News wanted to know if they were authentic tears. I think they were. I think she was sincerely crying. I have some theories. They're only theories, but follow along with me. On the one hand, could it be that she was bullied by leadership? It is not a secret in the House of Representatives that Nancy Pelosi does not like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Nancy Pelosi does not like her. You may think she does because they're both progressives, but Nancy Pelosi has been very, very hostile to AOC because she thinks AOC is a grandstander who doesn't get things accomplished. She was asked a while back about her relationship with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she said she wasn't going to talk about it. It's fine. And then she offhandedly said, you know, I have a lot of respect for the people who come to Congress and realize you're making a recipe or some such. I think she used a recipe analogy. You're making a dish and you got to put all the ingredients in the dish to get the finished product. I don't have patience for the people who want the finished product and don't put the time in to actually cook the finished product. And it was taken, I forget that the exact analogy, but it was taken, of course, as the interpretation that she was slamming AOC, and I think that was legitimate. Democrats behind the scenes say Pelosi does not like AOC. She likes Ilhan Omar and has kind of taken her under her wing, but she doesn't like AOC. So part of me wonders, was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez threatened by leadership? She wants the infrastructure deal. She wants the Green New Deal in the infrastructure deal. She has several wants she is insisting on. What if House leaders told AOC that if you vote no on this funding, we're going to deprive you of some of the things you want? What if the House leaders went to her and said, if you oppose funding the Iron Dome, we're not going to make you vote yes, but if you vote no, you're not going to get parts of the Green New Deal you want. We're going to strip it out. That's entirely plausible. It's entirely plausible. But Jim Garrity at National Review raises another scenario that is also entirely plausible. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a true believer. She has not had to make the compromises many politicians make to get ahead. In fact, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has condemned and railed against the politicians who have made those compromises that were necessary for them to stay in elected office. She has. She's excoriated Democrats for compromising. She doesn't think you should have to compromise, that you should be able to get what you want through sheer force of will. And that if you're a politician who compromises, who sells out, who does these things to stay in office, you're a fraud. And she's no fraud. Until now, perhaps. Some Democrats think she may want to challenge Chuck Schumer if he doesn't give her what she wants out of the Senate. She may want to run against him. You can't run in New York statewide against Chuck Schumer and be opposed to funding the Iron Dome. You can't do it. So she voted present and realized she has become the politician she hates. She has become the very thing she ran against, the compromised politician who avoids the tough, principled stand to win the next election. And she cried about it. She cried. I feel like I should play the clip from what's the old movie? Philip, you're no help on this. Charlie, what's the movie? Baseball, Tom Hanks. What is the League of Their Own. A League of Their Own. Yes. Yeah. See, I know Philip couldn't get this. He would have no idea. He would have no idea how to handle this situation because Philip doesn't get these pop cultural references. He would have never heard of this movie, and that's unfortunate. Let me see if I, cause you know, there's the Tom Hanks clip. There's no crying in baseball after, what is it? Gina Davis's character. She gets upset about something and he yells at her.
Evelyn, can I ask you a question? You got a moment? Which team do you play for?
Well, I'm a peach.
Well, I was just wondering, because I couldn't figure out why you would throw home when we've got a 2-run lead. You let the tying run get on second, and we lost the lead because of you. Now you start using your head. That's that love that's 3 feet above your ass. Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave?
There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in taking a tough vote. There's no crying in taking a tough vote, AOC. How weak is this? Oh, I have to vote present. Voting present. You didn't even take a stand. You voted present and you're going to cry because you weaseled your way out of it. Cry that you took a tough stand and they're going to punish you. Cry that you took a tough stand and they're going to come after you. Cry that you took a tough stand and now you can't run against Chuck Schumer. Don't cry that you weaseled out. You weaseled out. There's no crying and weaseling out. And that's what you did, AOC. You weaseled out and you cry, I voted present. I voted present. I couldn't vote for the terrorists and I couldn't vote against the Jews. I had to vote present. I really wanted to vote against the Jews. I really wanted to help the terrorists kill the Jews and I couldn't do it. I had to vote present. I mean, that's what the vote was. They wanted to support Israel building the Iron Dome to keep the terrorists from killing Israeli citizens. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, the squad, they believe the terrorists should have the right to kill the Jews. They're deeply anti-Semitic. And AOC didn't want to stand up for what she believes in. She cowered and voted present and then cried about it. There's no crying in capitulation. And the fact that she cried for capitulating tells you everything you need to know about her. She has become exactly what she said she hated. And she always has been. It's just taken a while for people to realize it. That's pathetic. What's her name? What was it? Rashida Tlaib came out. Rashida Tlaib came out and at least had the courage of her convictions and condemned funding the Iron Dome.
I rise in opposition to this supplemental. I will not support an effort to enable and support war crimes, human rights abuses, and violence. We cannot be talking only about Israelis' need for safety at a time when Palestinians are living under a violent apartheid system and are dying from what Human Rights Watch has said are war crimes.
Oh, good grief. Representative Deutsch Ted Deutsch is a Jewish member of Congress. He's had enough. He pretty much says Rashida Tlaib and her ilk are anti-Semites as diplomatically as he can for people who are supposedly in the same party with him.
My friend, Chair DeLauren, I thank the Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have a speech about how important it is for us to stand up against terror and the terror strikes against Israel launched by the terrorist group Hamas from Gaza. 4,500 rockets that Iron Dome helped us stop. And I have a speech that's all about how important it is for us to replenish that. But, Mr. Speaker, I cannot allow one of my colleagues to stand on the floor of the House of Representatives and label the Jewish Democratic State of Israel an apartheid state. I reject it. Today, this caucus, this body, the House of Representatives, will overwhelmingly stand with our ally, the State of Israel, in replenishing this defensive system. If you believe in human rights, if you believe in saving lives, Israeli lives and Palestinian lives, I say to my colleague who just besmirched our ally, then you will support this legislation. May I have 15 more seconds?
You're the gentleman 15 seconds. You're the gentleman 30 seconds.
Is recognized for an additional 30 seconds.
Mr. Speaker, we can have an opportunity to debate lots of issues on the House floor, but to falsely characterize the State of Israel is consistent with those, let's be clear, it's consistent with those who advocate for the dismantling of the one Jewish state in the world. And when there is no place on the map for one Jewish state, that's anti-Semitism. And I reject that.
Oh, he went there. Good for him. He's right, by the way. He's right. This issue will split open the Democratic Party and caused AOC to cry. Y'all, you need to be patriots. You need to stand up for the convictions of this country. And you need to stand with companies that stand for the convictions of this country. And one of those companies is Patriot Mobile. They're the only Christian conservative cell phone company in the country. You don't have to worry about coverage. They use the cell towers that the other companies have. So you can get 5G, you can get data, you can get it all, you can get expansive coverage. If you don't believe me, go to patriotmobile.com and they get a little map. You can see their coverage area. They've just updated it. They keep updating it. They keep expanding their coverage. It's great coverage. It's high-speed coverage. It's quality data coverage. It's quality voice coverage. You can port your own cell phone number to it. You can carry it over. If you got an existing unlocked phone, you can use it on their network. You get it all with Patriot Mobile. And they will take a portion of their profits and they will fund pro-life causes and pro-Second Amendment causes and conservative causes you care about. And together we compound our dollars by being customers of Patriot Mobile. We compound our dollars for the cause on the right, for the Christian conservative convictions you share. And you can get free activation with my name, and they have 100% U.S.-based customer service. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/ERIC. Or you can call them, U.S.-based customer service, 972-PATRIOT. I got a listener the other day texted me and said, I didn't know I could get an NRA discount with them. I got a great discount with them, an NRA discount. So you can too. Go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT. Tell them I sent you, get free activation. So Kamala Harris was supposed to be on The View today. We finally found out where she is. And right before she's supposed to come on, Sonny Houston and Anna Navarro were pulled off the set. They tested positive for breakthrough cases of COVID and not feeling anything. Apparently they feel fine, but they tested positive. So they were taken off the set, and then they made Kamala Harris do a remote interview. Even though she was there, they put her in a room with a camera and didn't bring her out on set for her own protection, I guess. And they were all trying to get together back on set. They've all been vaccinated, and yet breakthrough case. And you know, the breakthrough case happened, particularly with the Pfizer. If you've had the Moderna vaccine, you may get a breakthrough case, but you're far less likely to get one. And they're still not convinced yet you need a booster with Moderna because your antibodies are already so high. My wife is actually in a group that was given the booster for Moderna, and we'll see how that goes. Should really, really help. The Moderna is showing itself to be far better than the Pfizer vaccine, but they're still both really good.